Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
So many things to talk about. Not enough podcast time. That's what we just figured out on episode one and now into episode two of the Steve Alexander, Aaron Brewski era of Fantasy NBA Today. Welcome to the show. I have with me my co-host, Steve. Oh, hold on. Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer, Stephen Dr. A, has a PhD in fantasy hoops, Alexander. Hello, sir. How are you?
You know, a better tagline than FSWA Hall of Famer maybe is getting old guys back together one podcast at a time.
You know what? Hey, call up Kamala. Tell Kamala he's got to get on. And your point about the FSWA Hall of Fame not having yet honored that man, I just thought I'd bring that up a second time.
Hmm.
I need to do the business of being a show host, and I need to let you all know that BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats and news and scores to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds, and on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. You know how I've been practicing for that is reading to my son at night. I don't know why.
You've come a long way, dude. You're like smooth. You've got a lot of best Brees in your voice.
Well, you know, I learned from the best Briss.
You've got those. What do they call them?
The copper pipe. Dan's got the golden pipes.
You've got the soothing plastic pipes.
The PVC pipes.
My pipes are probably going to be made out of plastic before we're done. I will probably have PVC pipes inserted into my body before we're done here.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That's another one that we love to go to. It was funny. I forget who was talking about this the other day. It was kind of a conversation that was occurring online where like it Twitter.
Not a bad idea. That's here.
I think it was like Twitter will talk about something for like 5 seconds and then everybody just moves on. Like for 5 seconds, they were like, everybody at once was like, do you remember that this guy hosted a fantasy basketball podcast that was like from his basement maybe? And it was in like 1997 or something. I don't know.
20 years before football even made it on TV, or maybe 10 years. 10 years before we had a fantasy football show. This dude was in the attic at NBA TV doing a live fantasy basketball show every night at 1 a.m., and I was there for all of it. I became a part of the show. He became one of my friends. He's the reason that I'm in the Fantasy Sports Writers Hall of Fame. He's the reason that I'm at Sports Ethos and ESPN and RotoWire, and I was basically almost founding father of Roto World. All of that stuff happened mainly because I saw Rick Kamla on TV talking about fantasy basketball and decided that that was going to become my career. I mean, he should have been in there before me. He should have inducted me into the Hall of Fame.
And what was crazy is like that show was probably the best basketball show on TV, period, at the time.
Oh, man. It was so good. Because he just didn't care. He was just in his attic in a sweatshirt, just spewing off the biggest nerd fantasy numbers you've ever heard in your life. And he would just break every player down that went off that night, or if somebody was terrible. And nobody, I mean, you know, like the attitude back then was, well, it's just the NBA. I mean, everybody cares about football and baseball. Nobody cares about basketball. And you could literally just go rogue and do whatever you wanted back then.
It's like, nobody's watching this anyway. I'll just spit it. But everybody was watching it. And, you know, and even to this day, as he's doing his work over at NBA Radio with Antonio Daniels, that show just crushes everything. I love it because these are hardcore hoopers, you know.
It's, and he's one of the hardest working people I've ever met. Like, he does that show 5 days a week. We do a podcast on Thursdays, you know, on another at another place. And, you know, he needs to be in. I think if we can just get him nominated, I think once people see his name, they're going to be like, is he not already in the Hall of Fame? Like,
what, the collective conversation.
Is this thing on? Like, what is going on?
And I thought he was already in. That's why we weren't voting for him.
You know, it's kind of funny. I heard a story about when I got in this past year. My name came up, and when it initially came up, people were sort of like, is he not already in? Like, yeah. And, you know, it's just funny, but thank God I got in, man. It's such a huge, huge accomplishment in our little world. And I still can't really believe it happened.
I can't say enough about it. And the fact that it took as long as it did is, you know, it's not anybody's fault or anything, but you're kind of a first rounder, first ballot Hall of Famer in most people's books. So, you know, it's done and you're in, and the recognition for your body of work is out there. And, you know, it's just a pleasure to be able to talk about all this stuff. And if you want to go back and listen to some past episodes, if you haven't had a chance to listen, this is the new format of the show. Dan Bespris has moved on. And we had teary goodbyes and all sorts of crying and all sorts of fun stuff. You know, we did a show together on Friday. We talked about it, and I talked about it in yesterday's show. So Steve and I are manning the ship. What could go wrong? I don't know.
Two old guys who have no idea what we're doing production-wise.
We're doing this on Skype.
We're doing it via fax.
Hey, okay, I've told listeners that we were going to kind of just go back in time a little bit, but today we're going to talk playoffs. We're going to talk about the top fantasy storylines of 2023-2024 season. So you folks that you need it injected in your veins with no little chit-chat, that's coming real soon. But, like, were you a part of the Roto-World crew when newspapers got mailed to people's houses? How did that work when you guys were doing blurb updates and the tech wasn't there for that stuff? Were you a party to any of that?
I never stooped to the point of pulling an actual hard copy of a newspaper and reading it to try to do a blurb update.
Is that just an urban myth?
Now what I did do is to run our stats. That was all hard copy. You waited for the Wednesday USA Today to come out at 4 o'clock in the morning. You went and got it. You opened up the middle. It had every player in the league's stats listed all the way across the board. You got your yardstick out and your yellow highlighter, and you highlighted every player that's in the league, and then you go and you add up assists and steals and blocks for each individual player on each individual team by hand, writing it down with a pen or a pencil.
My God.
Adding it up with a calculator, because there were no computers. There were no online stat sites. It was all out of the USA Today. And then you would finally get your stats all compiled, and then I would take them to the copy store and copy off 12 packets of 12 pages or 14 pages or whatever at my own expense, and then take them to the office and distribute them once a week to our people. So that's the
dude. You're like the best commissioner ever.
Well, my first league I was ever in was Jeff Dixon's baseball league. And he was a great commissioner that taught me how to do all that. And then that taught me how to run a basketball league. And the fact that Dixon's Baseball League in 1993 is still the most well-run, well-organized, and best group of guys that are just baseball nerds that I've ever played in really rubbed off on me to try to put leagues together with fun and interesting, smart people that will talk trash, interact with each other, not fight, and have a good time. So, yeah, I learned a lot from both Jeff Dixon and Rick Kamla.
the not fight part. That part's a tough part.
Well, you just get rid of vetoes and it all goes away. It's like Lazowski's paperwork or whatever it was in Monsters, Inc.
Oh, you know what? That's funny. My kid just cracked that open yesterday. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but maybe that's a good thing.
Oh, you're gonna get a lot of where's your paperwork, Lagowski, or whatever she says. And it just blew away.
Okay.
Which is what happened once America Online and the internet happened. My wife was working late one night, and my boy John Dishinger and I, who was always in my leagues, we were there waiting for her because we were all riding together. And we're like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I have to get on the internet. We're like, what? Are there sports on the internet? She's like, probably in America Online. And we're like, we're going with you. So we did her thing, and then she got done, and she handed me that mouse, and I clicked on AOL Sports, and I clicked on NBA Basketball, and I clicked on Live Box Score, and that thing popped up on the screen. Dude, it was like I just saw a live dinosaur or something that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. And I had a live box score pulled up in front of me that included blocks and steals and threes. And I remember it was like yesterday, man. It was
a where were you moment. Like,
yeah.
I wish we had time to go into all of this, because like I just can only imagine the thoughts going through your head at that point. So you probably love doing the paper and, you know, doing that process. I love that there's parts of my process that I just can't get rid of. So like when I had my you know, some of you heard about this, I had thoracic outlet surgery, and it's been a 5-year battle. I lost the ability to type, I lost the ability to do all this stuff. So I basically, it's funny, my doctors would kill me for this. So I was like, there are like 10 things that are non-negotiable, and I'm not doing them. And they were all related to fantasy basketball. It was like, the research that I do, non-negotiable. The research here that I do, this process that I do here to prepare for the season, and this process that I do in the, you know, every Saturday night as I get ready for my fab bids, I'm just not touching them. So you looked at that and you probably be like, oh, I don't, were you like, okay, I don't want to do that anymore? Or were you like missing it a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you this, Bob, I wouldn't say I'm missing it. Sorry, that's office space. So here, this sums it up in a nice little bow that is actually relatively timely. The NCAA bracket pool that I run had 145 entries, or 140 entries this year. I am so stuck in my old man ways that when I moved to Georgia in 2004 and started this thing, there were only like 12 people in it. And I'm like, we're doing this by paper and we're doing it by cash. So you give me a $10 bill and you give me a piece of paper bracket, and that's how we're doing it. And we're still doing it that way today. So I had to grade 140 brackets and sit around with, you know, $205 bills laying on my office chair for a month. And every year that I do that, I say, I'm not doing that again. That was insane. What's wrong with me? Because it takes like 6 to 8 hours to do it right and to send out an email update and all this. And I'm doing all this when there's so many websites out there happy to host it for free that would require me to spend 0 minutes on stats. So I am officially, as of 2025, out of the paper game. I'm going online
done?
With everything. I'm out. It is over.
Okay, we'll check in with you and we'll see if you actually follow through with that. Because if I know old men pretty well, we are stuck in our ways. And you might not make it there, sir.
And I don't miss doing my NBA stats by hand. No, I did not. I was not upset about that. When we bought a computer and I could enter them straight into the computer and just print it off on my dot matrix Pentium 1 computer, I was super psyched, and it cut the time in about half. So
you didn't think you were getting a dot matrix Pentium 1 reference for your AOL login on this show, but you did. And now with that, let's talk some fantasy stories. We talked Victor Wembanyama yesterday. That was awesome. And I don't know if we'll have time to kind of jump into that. I think we probably covered all the angles there. And I don't even know if he was the fantasy story, because, I mean, it was a big buzzy thing. And, yeah, he was just ground. He was awesome down the stretch, and he won everybody their leagues, including you in 30 deep. And but, like, I don't know. There was just a lot that went on this season. I thought, you know, like right at the top, and maybe it's topical because this series is right on us here tonight, this Oklahoma City Thunder and Dallas Mavericks series. You know, we're going to see Luka square off with Lu Dort, who you tell me, Doc, is talking trash. I haven't seen it with my own eyes, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I haven't either. I've heard rumblings.
Rumblings.
A lot of rumblings. Yeah.
And that was actually the first thing I thought was, how are you going to handle Luka? Because, I mean, it's almost a given that he's going to be very good. And I don't care if he's dinged up, because he's always dinged up. And I was like, who's going to cover Luka? And I thought, well, maybe Lu Dort, you know, did a great job last series. But I don't know if he can get into that airspace. And so that's a question there. But Luka hit 78.9% of his free throws last season. That's the story. He did it.
Absolutely.
And that alone transformed him from like a disappointing roto pick to just an all-around top four finisher in 9-cat formats for totals. So, I mean, he didn't beat Nikola. He didn't beat Shea. Some of the other stories we'll get into include like Anthony Davis and so on. But with Luka, like, you know, you're like the original Luka whisperer. You know, you've known about Luka's greatness since he was probably playing in the EuroLeague, if I had to guess. But I know you went big on Wemby. Did you go big on Luka this last year?
I did where I could get him. I had a team that had Luka and Wemby on it.
Oh my God. It was
I had two mock drafts where I had Luka and Wemby, and man, I wish we would have played those out. That would have been fun. Dude, everybody can look this up at home, but the stats on his stat page right now are 33.9 points, 9.2 rebounds, 9.8 assists, 1.4 steals, career high shooting and free throw percentage easily, 0.5 blocks. Luka was playing D in the playoffs and shutting guys down. Luka's defense is underrated, in my opinion. We don't even know who's going to win MVP this year. I mean, Luka still has a shot. SGA has a shot. Jokic is the favorite. Anthony Edwards probably should be in the conversation, but it's too late. He didn't turn into the monster he is until after the regular season. So Luka won people a lot of leagues as well, probably as many as Wemby did.
It's crazy, too, because, like, you know, his stat set, when you look at scoring and rebounds and assists, yeah, it's very poppy. So I think people look at Luka and they go, okay, this is a huge stats guy. But, you know, 3.9 triples, that's great. That's very high end. But, like, 1.4 steals and 0.5 blocks, well, that's very good for him. You know, in this day and age of these freaky fantasy plays, you know, talking about the aforementioned Victor Wembanyama, but like the guys ahead of him in a 9-cat format, Anthony Davis, who when we first saw him come from Kentucky, we said, oh my God, this guy could just be dominant on a level we haven't seen before. Shea, with his free throw ability, you know, the reason why he's popping up ahead of him in the rankings is he's so much better at free throws than everybody else, and so great at shooting them. It's almost, in a sense, especially if you're in a punt build, artificially pushing him up the ranks. And then Jokic, one of the greatest players of all time, I think. You know, Jokic scoring 26.5 points a game on 58% free field goal shooting. That's just stupid. That's like impossible to really compete with in many ways, while also doing all of the other things. So Luka's sort of losing to these freaks of fantasy.
Well, and Dallas's record didn't help either. They kind of crept up from eighth to fifth at the end of the season, while Oklahoma City was in first and Denver was up there, you know, battling for first. So had Dallas had a better record, I think Luka's numbers popped so hard that he would have gotten a lot more votes had they been, say, third in the West as opposed to fifth.
Oh, I mean, and yes. If what happened in the last month happened a month earlier, because I think a lot of people make up their minds, you know, probably around All-Star break, who they like for MVP. And if it's close, they might go down to the stretch and look at it. I actually, with the MVP stuff, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if I care enough to get into the MVP discussion. Everybody else does, and usually I'll be like, this is the best. I kind of go for the best player. I used to go for Kawhi before Kawhi was Kawhi. And of course it's like a different vote, or it's a different criteria depending on who you're talking with for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could even, since we're talking Luka, shift a little bit into tonight's game with Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is, what's the number on Oklahoma City? They are, I bet the others, let's see, I bet Oklahoma City in this game, and they are, where'd you go? -3.5 at home.
-3.5, yeah.
I really think that Dallas is getting premium team treatment. Big names, you got Luka and Kyrie, and they're playing real well. Oklahoma City, still people don't quite know about them. Maybe some of those early struggles against New Orleans maybe kind of took a little of the steam out of their sails. But, you know, Oklahoma City, they're very good. I mean, can't take that from them. I think probably people wonder, are they experienced enough? Do they have the high-end gear? And then they see Kyrie, he's won a championship, and Luka's Luka. I think that for me personally, I'm kind of trying to catch the market while people might be sleeping a little bit on Oklahoma City. But where are you, sir? What do you think about tonight's game?
First of all, two things. Kyrie Irving has been a perfect angel this season, right? Like, hardly any controversy. He got his legs fallen on and his feet, and he was actually injured. I don't feel like Kyrie just took any nights off. Like, when Kyrie didn't play this year, he was hurt. And when he does play, he's out there with Luka, rubbing his head, helping him up off the floor, diving for loose balls, scoring at will, being a perfect teammate, and really embracing Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks as his new home. And, you know, Kamla was saying the other day, Kyrie just needs to be loved. And for the first time in a long time, he feels loved in Dallas. And it shows when he plays. So now you've got Luka and Kyrie as the most dynamic scoring duo in a backcourt in the NBA today. You've got Daniel Gafford, you've got Derek Lively, and you've got PJ Washington, who were all brought in this year. They're all big men. They're all going to help with Holmgren, and they're going to get rebounds and block shots and really allow Luka and Kyrie freedom to do what they want to do. So hats off to Kyrie Irving, who I never thought I would really celebrate being in Dallas, but I love him being there. And like, I'm a Dallas fan. I'm wearing a Dallas Mavericks hat right now. As for the Oklahoma City side, Shea is a monster. Jalen Williams is a monster. Chet is a monster. And now we've got this Lou Dort is hell-bent on trying to shut Luka Doncic down tonight. And he is going to go, I think he's going to go in early, and I think he's going to go hard, and I think he's going to, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to put a body on Luka, and he's going to be like, hey, man, party time is over. I'm going to be in your face for 48 minutes a night this series, and I'm not going to let you do anything you want to do. And it's going to be a blast to watch.
He made Brandon Ingram look like just a guy. Like, Brandon Ingram couldn't even dribble next to him.
And I mean, can Lou Dort, can anyone stop Luka? I mean, I'm worried about it because Luka's about as fast as I am. And you are.
We're pretty fast, dude.
Well, I mean, his wrists and ankles are probably in better shape than ours. But
he's not quick.
He moves like we do out there. And I don't think it would be that crazy for a guy like Lou Dort to get super fired up and go like Pat Bev mode and just be like, just become a crazy defender and try to slow Luka down. But I think if you do that, Luka's still the smartest guy in the league. He's still the best passer in the league. He's going to find a guy.
But you know, I played this out in my mind a whole lot. Luka is so strong for the things he doesn't have in the speed department. He is so strong. I kind of feel like he can bump Lou Dort off of his spots and maybe just kind of take him down to the post and maybe try to pivot the crap out of him. And then the other piece is he shoots with such a high release and he's so committed to shoot when he's shooting that I don't even know if Dort can get the hand up there to bother him. Now, Dort's going to live inside of his jersey and probably without even really needing to be like overly aggressive, you know, like Pat Bev try to start a fight or something or whatever. Like, I think he can play it straight up and physical, and Luka is known to get out of his own head. You know, he'll get angry. And so that's one way that I could see the series going south for Dallas. But the thing that you outlined earlier, the big man combo, I think Oklahoma City's really got to do something there to negate the advantage that Dallas has, because those three dudes, the Gaffords and the Livelys, they fill their roles extraordinarily well. And then PJ Washington's just been a monster since he's come over, and he looks quicker than he looked in Charlotte. Shooting wise, he does what he needs to do there. Chet could have a really, really bad series, I think, against this group. I don't know that he's going to shoot, you know. He didn't look great shooting in the last series.
He could have a bad series. Do I expect him to have a bad series? Not really. People have been doubting Chet since tip-off of the season on October 24th or whatever. Like, you know, he's too big. He's going to get hurt. Who's Chet Holmgren? Well, any other year, he's your rookie of the year and had a dominant, great season that was overshadowed by an alien, you know, freak,
and
Wembanyama.
He's one of the fantasy stories of the year. Finished 9th in 9-cat, which he was getting drafted, I want to say, late 3rd, early 4th.
You know, I told you earlier I had some teams, some mock draft teams, where I had Luka and Wembanyama on them. I also had some mock draft teams where I went Luka in the first, Wemby in the second, Chet in the third.
Oh my God.
And I would love to see what those teams would have done, but we didn't play it out. But I tell you what, Aaron, I'm so fired up about the Mavericks and Thunder. I'm so fired up about these whole playoffs. I mean, this Minnesota Denver thing is just fascinating. The Pacers Knicks series is fascinating. The Mavs Thunder series is fascinating. The only one that is really not that fascinating is over there in the East. Do you have anything else you want to say about the Mavericks and Thunder? You want to jump over there?
Let's jump
and Cleveland.
No, I don't have anything to say about that series, and I don't have anything to say about Boston Cleveland other than probably I don't know. Take Cleveland plus 11.5. My God, I don't know. I gotta look at that before I tell you guys to do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You mentioned yesterday that Porzingis is out for the Celtics. Let's not forget that Jared Allen is not healthy for the Cavaliers. Mm. And the Celtics can way more afford to lose Porzingis than the Cavaliers can afford to lose Jared Allen. I don't think he's going to play game one. Then, you know, when you look at Cleveland, who's the weapon? The weapon is Donovan Mitchell, right? And
not against those guys.
What do the Celtics have? Let's see. They've got Derek White and Jrue Holiday, only the best two defensive guards in the whole league. I mean, what could go wrong for Cleveland here?
It's funny. I made fun of the 11.5, but I should be appropriately scared of Boston based on what you just said.
Well, dude, they just ran over the whole league this year. They just ran away from Milwaukee and Indy and Cleveland and everybody. I mean, they ran away from them.
I have one theory about them, though. Like, Porzingis, when he's hitting, it makes them just, like, unfair. And you know, in the context of who they might play in the championship or in the Eastern Conference Finals, okay, maybe we'll have that conversation down the road. But, like, in the regular season, Porzingis is out there hitting three-pointers at 27 feet. It's just stupid. Like, why play? So if he's not there, I'm at least listening to certain parts of the conversation.
But the best part about that is the Celtics treated Kristaps Porzingis as like a luxury item just to have around.
Like, yeah.
They don't need him to go out and beat teams. Like, he didn't play that many games this year, and they gave him a night off whenever he needed it. He took a lot of time off at the end.
We'll throw Al Horford out there, and he'll be just fine, too.
We'll throw Al Horford out there, and we'll be just fine. That's exactly the theory. And Mobley is going to be a problem for Al Horford. There's no doubt about that. But I just, you know, we were talking about Lu Dort trying to guard Luka. Well, I'd much rather have Lu Dort on Luka one-on-one as a Luka guy than have Luka playing against Jrue Holiday and Derek White and trying to get around both of those guys at the same time.
Yes. Amen to that. I don't think we're going to be looking at Cleveland very long in this playoffs. And then what happens in the other series, that one's more that's more interesting to me. You know, we're recording on Monday, so we don't know last night's result with that. Hopefully for Dr. A's pocketbook, he hit his parlay. And we will see how that goes. But, you know, you mentioned a Derek White, and we also talked about Chet. Talking about like fantasy stories of the year, I think both of those guys kind of qualified. But what was really interesting about this last year, it's this kind of theory I've been working on the last couple of years. It's like the old injured dude F it theory, where, you know, they're just like, all right, yeah, I'm injured. I'm never going to be healthier. I'm not getting any younger. This is the year that I'm just going to go for it. And at the top of our ranks, you've got, you know, the fantasy hoops ranks. If you look at totals, so how do they do all year long? You got Anthony Davis at 3. You got Paul George at 5. You got Kawhi Leonard at 7. You know, these were, you know, Anthony Davis still went in the first round. Kawhi.
Load management icons, dude. And yeah, they all played this year.
82 games for Anthony Davis. 82 games. Am I reading that right?
It's the story of fantasy hoops.
Oh, my God.
This year.
I didn't know it was 82. Did he not have a game off? I know. Oh, because I think this website
that
I'm looking at is counting some things wrong. Like, I think it's counting, like, playoff games or something. But
yeah, because I saw,
I get to an old school website that's not doing whatever this one particular website is doing. But
no, it was doing it to me earlier too, and I was like, that, I know this number's not right.
It's a very nice website that we like a lot, and I'm not going to say its name because I don't want to point out its flaw on air right now. But Mr. Davis played in 76 games. Thank you very much. Where the other six came from, I don't know. 76. Okay, 82 would have blown my mind. 76 blows my mind for Anthony Davis.
86 is mind-blowing. And, excuse me, we talked about that a lot. You know, I've been potting all year, and it's been a hot topic in all of my podcasts this year because I was done with Kawhi, and I was done with LeBron, and I was done with AD and all Paul George and all of it. But, you know, Commissioner Adam Silver was like, load management is going away. We are not doing this anymore. It's bad for the game. It's bad for the fans. If a guy's hurt, sure, he can sit out. But we're not just resting guys for the fun of it anymore. And if you guys don't hit your number of games targets, you're going to lose out on bonuses. You're going to lose out on awards. And how about everybody just man up and pretend like you're Anthony Edwards for a second, go out there and play. And, dude, that's what they did. And even Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren, who everybody at the beginning of the season was like, no way these two skinny guys make it through the year. It's just not going to happen. You're crazy. Pop's going to rest Wemby, you know, every other night, which they kind of did, but they kind of didn't. His game total was fine, good enough to win leagues. It's the biggest, it's the most important story in fantasy hoops, because we didn't talk about load management this year, and we weren't mad at half of the players in the league for being wimps and not going out there and playing.
It's almost like the younger guys were doing more with the load manager. The guys that are waiting on their next deals, you know, the mega deals. And actually, to your point, I mean, I think silly season was probably just as bad this year. I mean, maybe in the, what I would say, with the silly season's been a thing for like the last 8 to 10 years, something like that.
It'll always be a thing. I mean, you can't
get around it.
No.
But it was definitely more muted amongst those top players. And but then, you know, I guess to your point, the league's in a good place. Victor Wembanyama was fighting Pop to play in a lot of those games.
And SGA was left the last few seasons injured, and Oklahoma City was always shutting somebody down. Well, finally, that didn't happen. And look what we have. We have like one of the most entertaining NBA teams in the history of the league. Like, I will sit and watch Oklahoma City play basketball every single game of the year. I don't care. I just love watching SGA. I love watching Jalen. Holmgren is a freak. I love their Dagan down, their coach.
They got depth, too.
Lou Dort versus Luka is going to be must-see TV. And so we had SGA playing the whole season. Then we got – I mean, I keep going back to Anthony Edwards, man, but he's literally about – to become the face of the NBA. And he's that guy. He's that killer. He's that dog. And you know how many times that dude has ever thought about sitting out a game?
Oh, no. And he's
maybe if he's on crutches or in a wheelchair, or, you know, stuck in his car at the bottom of a lake somewhere. I mean, otherwise, that dude's playing and he's going hard and he's going to destroy you.
It's also fascinating that he did the movie with the Adam Sandler movie,
right?
Like, it was like he just, nothing fazed him. He was great in that movie. He took the heel role and he was like, I'll be the heel, no questions asked. And to contrast that with some of the leadership stuff we talked about in yesterday's show, where it does not appear like he has a flaw right now. You know, he's just that dude.
He's got that Jordan, that young Jordan and that young Kobe, just, I'm going to throw down in your face, old man, and I don't care. And he just, you can just see it when you watch him play. Like, he's setting a guy up to embarrass him and take him out. And it's just, he can do whatever he wants, and no one seems to be able to stop it.
It's beautiful stuff. So we're up against it for time-wise. Any other fantasy story that you can think of? It doesn't have to be like the most valuable or the most, you know, the highest mover in relation to ADP or anything like that. There's a ton of those stories out there. Was there anything that struck you about this last fantasy season? Something you'll take into the next season?
I don't remember rookies being as reliable as they've been for the last 2 to 4 years. Like, I used to really shy away from putting too many marbles in a rookie basket at a basketball draft. But between Paolo Banchero and Anthony Edwards and SGA and Luka came into the league by storm and Wemby and Chet. And, you know, I know this upcoming draft class is not full of studs, but, you know, if the big kid, Zach Edey ends up in a good situation in the NBA next year from Purdue, you know, if he's going to play a lot of minutes at center, I'm not going to hesitate to draft him. I think rookies, as long as you know they're going to get minutes, are way more reliable today than they were, say, 10 years ago.
And there's value in that because, you know, and correctly, people have been banging that drum forever as the rookies are overvalued, to stay away. And it's worked until the last couple of years. And so maybe that's just a testament to the training and something, and certain overseas stars. They're getting professional minutes over there. And that was the tough part in projecting a Wembanyama. You know, it's like, what is the NBA impact? And the fact that those leagues play more physical defense might also be showing up in some of those translations where they get to the NBA. It's like, you know what? These guys aren't allowed to punch me in the head. So I can do whatever I want now in the case of Wembanyama. Obviously a little bit extreme in the example there, but that's a very interesting trend. I don't know that I have anything else to add. I think the games played for these high-end old players is definitely a trend to watch, and I think it's going to shake up draft boards because people are going to look at last year and they're going to say, man, Kawhi got me what? Paul George, he got me what? I felt like we were in a good spot with our rankings with those two dudes because we were at least in the game with those guys, and we got them in a couple places, and it's like, okay, cool, we won. But I'm sure a lot of sharps out there either avoided those dudes or, you know, the public at large hit on those guys and they were able to get those big returns. So it'll be interesting to see how the rookies and the old men pan out. Maybe it's not the shiny new, you know, buzzy young player that everybody's going to go for in the first round. And a lot of those guys fell out, you know, Jason Tatum fell out. What's his name? Tyrese Haliburton. You know, he kind of stuck around all season, but you know, not exactly, you know, the top five pick that everybody.
He never really recovered from All-Star Weekend in Indy, did he?
No, he was totally injured.
He lost the MVP award to Damian Lillard. He was banged up, and he didn't shoot the three ball as well, I don't think, after the All-Star break, and he just didn't look like the same guy after the break. Now, the playoffs are different. I mean, I feel like he's totally back and good to go. But, yeah, he had just a little bit of a letdown. But, yeah, I guess that's all I got. Bring on the playoffs, man.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on. And so as far as the show goes going forward, again, shout out Dan Besperus, and thank you for setting this up and giving us the head start and push into the water that this show needs. We're going to be looking at back into 2023, that season. And as we get out of the playoffs and into the off season, we'll start looking ahead a little bit. And a little bit of stories from the past, a little bit of analysis right now. And then as the season gets geared up, we assure you folks, we'll just get on the mic and we'll just talk about your ads and drops and we'll just pump it right into your veins. Because we know that you guys like that. And you could always use the skip button as well. They do have skip buttons on podcasts. You could just go right to the spot where we're talking about stuff. At any rate, we got a lot of big plans for this show. We want to have it be a hub for the great voices in the fantasy industry and bring some folks in. We'll talk and we'll have fun. So,
Aaron, I know you're wrapping up, but I just want to say I'm super psyched to be here. I have not had to produce my own rankings for a hot minute. I usually just go straight into my drafts blind and just draft my guys. As you know, I do always write my guys column, but I'm excited that this year maybe we might be able to put the Brewski 150 up against the Doc 150 and maybe track it a little bit and have some fun with it and see just how early I am going to be reaching for guys that you would be taking later and vice versa, because I have a feeling it could be pretty fun.
I'm telling you, man, that just, I'm sure a couple of people's heads out there just exploded to hear the concept that you just laid at the bottom of the podcast, burying the lead, sir. Well, this is going to be great. We were talking for 20 minutes off air prior to the show, and we're like, man, we should be recording this. And that's just how it goes with us. We're just crazy hoops heads that love to talk about hoops.
And it sounds like we're long lost old friends, it's because we are.
Yeah, quite literally. So you guys will get to enjoy that part of this as well, as we are, for sure. So everybody, follow us, Ethos Fantasy NBA, and then Dr. A at DOCKTORA, and yours truly at AARONBRUSKI, Aaron Bruski on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it these days. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.